When sin entered the world in that beautiful garden called Eden, it impacted every person who has ever lived, including our first parents, Adam and Eve. The story you'll hear all this week here on Renewal demonstrates dramatically that evil does exist in this world. But you'll also discover that even when evil triumphs in certain situations, God's grace is greater than all our sins. Here's our host and teacher, Dr. Gene Getz, to introduce his special guests.
Well, thank you very much, Alan and Chris and Kathy. When I first heard you share your story at a pastor's conference, I was just deeply, deeply moved by what happened. In fact, when I heard you begin to share, Chris, it took me about 30 seconds to understand where you were going because I had heard the report of that incredible tragedy. Well, thank you so much for being with me here on Renewal, Chris and Kathy.
Thank you, Gene. It's really good to be with you today.
Yes, thank you, Gene.
You know, this is something that I think will amaze a lot of people, that you can be thankful even that you can share this story, and that's a whole other dimension. But first of all, let's talk about what happened. They were vacationing, they were out on the beach, they were in their sleeping bags, and then the tragedy hit. Just fill us in.
Well, they had been working all summer at a Christian camp called Rock and Water. It's a venture camp. And they were both counselors and guides, whitewater rafting, hiking, rock climbing, rappelling, those kinds of things, and had an exhausting summer. And so they decided that they would like to go and visit San Francisco before Lindsay came home. This was her last weekend before she came home to finish preparations for their marriage. And so they went to San Francisco, toured the city, took some pictures, and then they headed north out of the city as it was getting late in the evening, we would guess, or late afternoon anyway, and were looking for a remote place or campers. And so they were looking for a place to camp, to get away from the city, a place where they thought was safe. And so they found this beach that was remote, and from their perspective, it was a very, very safe place. Pitched their camp there and enjoyed a meal together. And the detectives tell us that there was Christian material on the beach, premarital counseling material that I gave them. We'd walk through that before they left for camp that summer.
They must have been sitting there reflecting, reviewing, thinking about the fact that in a week they're going to be married.
Yes, that's correct. I think they were working on, you know, some things that probably had come up in their lives through the summer that they needed to talk about even before their marriage. They were really committed to each other, to the Lord, and they really wanted this marriage to be right. So we weren't surprised when we heard that they had their Bible down there and that there was some, what one detective called religious material, but what turned out to be the premarital counseling stuff, that some of the books and materials that they were working through and working on.
So they just went down for the night in their sleeping bags, and then it happened. What happened?
Well, what happened is we believe that they were worshiping the Lord together, actually, because we do have some notes that they wrote from the beach. Just the Lord has given us a number of wonderful gifts, and the notes are one of them, just incredible blessings to us, Gene. It's just amazing. So they were worshiping the Lord together. They watch the sunset. We have a beautiful picture that they took that was in one of their cameras. They both had a camera, and the cameras were left on the beach. And so the detectives developed those pictures for us. And so they worshiped the Lord together. We think that they went to sleep, probably said a prayer before they fell asleep, and then they woke up in heaven. And what happened was that some evil person were assuming that it was a man, walked out on the beach in the dark with a high-powered Marlin rifle. It was a 45 caliber rifle, and shot them both in the head.
Simply killed them right on the spot.
Yes.
Kathy, how did you get news of this? How did this unfold? I mean, it took a while, I assume, to get the story out to you guys.
It took from Monday morning when we first got the call that they were missing from the camp to Thursday morning early in California that we really found out where they were and what had happened. We got a call from the camp Monday morning asking if we knew where Lindsay and Jason were. Well, right away we were alarmed because we knew that something was wrong. They're the type of kids that would have been to work, or they would have called and said where they were.
So you're actually saying, Kathy, that from the time they were out there on the weekend, it took that long to actually literally find them or to make contact? When did they actually find them, Kathy?
It was Wednesday afternoon. They found the car because a young lady had lost her purse over the cliff, and her boyfriend, I believe it was, went down to get her purse, and he got stuck. So they sent out some helicopters, and the helicopters noticed the two separate sleeping bags on the beach, and they noticed that no one was moving. And then they brought in the detectives, and then it started to unravel. We didn't really hear about it until the next day.
So basically, this was a very remote area, or people would have found them immediately or heard the shots.
It's interesting that this was a very safe place, we were told by the detectives, and we're also told that other people camped there. Now, they had to be in shape to walk down and to walk back out, but it wasn't all that remote. In fact, their car could be seen from the highway. It's just no one suspected anything. Even though we did have a description of the car out, we weren't even sure what part of California they were in. We flew into Sacramento and immediately went to the camp Tuesday and started looking in that area because we had no idea where they were.
Well, if you just joined us here on Renewal, I'm Gene Getz, and my special guests all this week, Chris Kutchell and his wife, Kathy, and of course we're talking about a real tragedy. Their daughter, engaged to Jason, her name was Lindsay, were actually out camping together, and some evil personage, obviously, with a high-powered rifle, shot them in the head, killed them. They never knew what hit them, probably, because they went immediately to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the fact of the matter is, Chris and Kathy, you're left behind, and you've got to deal with this. And tomorrow we want to talk about what happened, what went through your minds, what went through your hearts, and how God has helped to sustain you through this incredible crisis. I'm Gene Getz. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
And you will want to join us again tomorrow here on Renewal to discover the next installment in this incredible story. Well, Gene, you first heard this story, I believe, at a pastor's conference at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago.
That's right, Alan. I was speaking at that pastor's conference, but I was also a participant in this one particular service when the president of Moody Bible Institute, Michael Easley, invited this couple to the platform, Chris and Kathy Kutchell. I, of course, didn't realize what they were going to share, but as they began to share, I had heard that story before. I had heard it on the news. And before they actually got to what happened there on that beach, I knew what they were going to say. And it's a tragic story from a human point of view. It's hard to imagine that anyone could take the life of someone else, innocent people, resting, sleeping, and suddenly their life is taken from them. There wasn't a dry eye in that auditorium. All those pastors were wiping tears, including yours truly. It was an incredible, touching scene. And afterwards, I went over and I talked with Chris and Kathy, and I said, would you be willing to tell your story on Renewal Radio? And of course, they did, and that's what they're going to be doing all this week. You know, as I reflect on a story like this, and someone asks me, you know, why? Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't have an answer as to why, except that I know that there are evil people in this world, and evil people do evil things. I couldn't help but think about what happened in the New Testament church to the Apostle James. And in Acts chapter 12, we read about that. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. And notice it says, he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And then when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The interesting thing is, why did God allow James to be taken? To be taken in death, this apostle that he'd worked with all those years, preparing him for this ministry. And the other question is, why did he allow Peter to live? But even more specifically, why did he allow John, the brother of James, to live for another probably 60 years? And I go to something he wrote in his little epistle in 1 John 3:16, where he says, "This is how we know what love is." And frankly, I think that John probably was writing, maybe with tears streaming down his cheeks, when he said this, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." You see, his brother James had already laid down his life, had given his life for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look at a situation like that, and we say, why? Why James? Why not John? I think John was probably asking that question himself. Why not me? After all, both of them were the sons of thunder who had been converted to Jesus and became followers of Jesus. Jesus changed their life and charged them to serve him and carry the gospel to the whole world. Well, there are a lot of questions that we can't answer. We know that Herod was an evil man. But we also know something else. We know that when James' head was severed from his body, to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. And that's why we're making a wonderful book available to you here on Renewal all this week. It's entitled 1 Minute After You Die, because Jason and Lindsay, 1 minute or moment after their lives were taken, went home to be with Jesus. This is a book that you can pass on to people who are asking the question, why? Because God's giving us an opportunity to be prepared. The book is written by Erwin Lutzer. We're making it available here for a donation of $12 or more to the Ministry of Renewal. And you can order the book today. You can call us on our toll-free line, 1-800-RENEWAL. Or you can log onto our website, renewalradio.org. Or simply write us, put a check in the mail today for $12 or more. Make it out to Renewal Radio and write us, Box 2400, Dallas 75221. And I hope you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue to unfold this incredible story. Here's our announcer now to repeat our contact information.
Once again, our phone number is 1-800-RENEWAL. That's toll-free, 1-800-RENEWAL. Or you can find us on the web at renewalradio.org. That's renewalradio.org. And our mailing address is Renewal, Box 2400, Dallas, Texas, 75221. Once again, that's Box 2400, Dallas, Texas, 75221. We hope to hear from you today and trust that you'll join us once again tomorrow right here on Renewal.